Thank you very much, and thank you very much for bringing also new elements to the discussion that we've had this morning. I think something that was touched already in the first presentation and briefly slided to yours was this question of role of the think tanks and the question of intellectual mood. So Chicago School was mentioned in the very first part, and I think it still remains in terms of economical faculties, the way we teach our students economy, the way we teach our students to think about the contemporary world. And as long as this is the case, as long as there is no other alternative, the liberal thinking will be a prevailing one. And I think here the progressive think tank's responsibility, I would even call it, is an immense one. The second thing, I think active state has been also coming throughout all the presentations. I have to say that personally I have this kind of an interesting observation that when I started my politically conscious life, I was entire time told that actually there should be an active state that activate everyone, but actually it is Europe that will deliver. Now with the incredible crisis in confidence towards Europe, and saying that state is no longer there, I think that if I wasn't a passionate social democratic member and voter, I think I would have a lot of difficulties with putting that, and this is a sort of remaining as a gap in the social democratic problems. And maybe coming back to the, because we spoke a bit about the equality and equal opportunities, and you've mentioned very important thing, namely education, but also jobs. I would put it even in the broader context of jobs, education and care, because of course in terms of the payment or salaries or income, this is very much dependent on what is being provided by the state that we are discussing about. So it's becoming in the same time sort of related. If you go outside, there is, I'm not inviting you to do it now, because now it's the exciting part when we will open the floor to everyone to take part in the debate. There is an issue of Queries, our scientific magazine, lying outside, so you are free to take it or to download it from our website. And one of the issues we touch upon is the question of the domestic work, which is an issue that is completely in a grey zone, because it's aside from contractual agreements, with the ageing society and with the participation of women in the labour market, so all in spirit of equality, there is a growing need for the domestic work. And as such, we are creating here with a sort of a class that is somewhere in between private and state dealing, and it's not regulated and not having the rights that social democracy has been fighting for such a long time. And maybe the last thing, and here I will open the floor for the input, is this question of how the values should translate into the way we formulate our movement. You mentioned the example of the Summer University and the question of the pluralism and democracy within within the movement. I think this is precisely the case. If you become a member of the party nowadays and you are a young person, what is that you can get? Socialist education is no longer what we have in the DNA of the movement. The ideological discussion, except such as this one, are no longer that much in the place, because everything happens in the turmoil of the everyday politics. So basically, if you enter, I remember my times of entering, and I was very privileged to firstly go through the youth organization, but regularly you come in and you say, that's very good you are here, you will be my, depending whom you meet, my vote in the local section. And you can also come in postering the posters. And that's pretty much what you get being a young member of the party. As long as we don't have transposition of democracy, equality, solidarity, progress in terms of the membership, I think that the parties will be declining. And this is the problem of the Western social democracy, that if we look at the voters, the core voters are no longer there, because this collective identification is weaker and weaker, while in the same time, young people are either not involved in politics or definitely not buying the idea of care the way we put it forward in terms of solidarity. I open up. This is democratic agenda. So now, I mean, all the speakers spoke. You are more than welcome to challenge. Please say your name so like that we can refer back to you. Yes, go ahead. Reverse order. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, Evans, you are the second one.
Before this meeting, I talked with several people who are not usually interested politics, but they're going to vote. So I ask, why you vote for different kind of parties, and is values and ideology important for you? They said, not really, and I asked why. So because I don't see really a difference, because even what is written in the program when they get to power is actually the same story. And I agree with Lithuanian colleagues that there should be a difference, but I disagree on the radical side. Of course, you have to sometimes call the things what they are, but maybe the key aspect is not radicalism, which is in the same discourse of political system, but innovation, what the Estonian colleagues said. That you looking for a new progressive solutions in current society, current changing all the social media environment, and also I think in the Baltic states after, especially in Latvia, very harsh economical crisis, these innovations could take place. And the question is, do progressive or social democrats are offering a new solutions? Unfortunately, at the moment, the parties in the parliament, especially left ones, are not using this opportunity. They are not more radical, and they are not innovational, and they are not honest. And the more innovational are at the moment liberal parties, I would say, or I see that the progressives and social democrats actually could be more better on this.
Okay, thank you, Ervin. Yes.
My name is Maris Kravinch. I'm from Riga, and I was intrigued to hear the expositions that Jolanta and Andrius Bielskis just gave on developments in Lithuania. There seem to be some elements that are working, and the interesting from a public relations point of view. Tools that you have used for this Frank Zappa's monument in Vilnius and so on, I think, are.
By the way, not a very leftist singer. But
well, he was maybe a bit of an anarchist, and that some of the discussion that you were speaking about and refraining from board members is going in that direction. And well, just as a tangent, I suppose we could say, you know, that. Kropotkin, the Russian anarchist, actually, he was, in a sense, the founder of modern-day non-governmental organizations. He said the state would wither away and we would have interest groups. So we're kind of coming to that today. But anyway, getting back to the topic of the of today's discussion, as Evans mentioned, here in Latvia, we've been, some people, Evans and Veiko Spolits himself, have been forced to be candidates on center-right party lists because of the way the situation has devolved, so to speak, here in Latvia. But the concrete question would be ideological appeal to mobilize. Right now, there's the progressive tax doorknob hangers, but the number of people who have signed up on myvoice.lv are not anywhere near 10,000 yet. And it seems to be, I don't know why, but there seems to be a disconnect between the ideological issue and people realizing what their own interests are. My question then is to all the speakers, what would be one or two concrete, whether it's supermarket unionization or something, one or two or three, or pharmaceutical subsidies here in Latvia, which I tried to develop once several years ago. What would be the two or three concrete issues that could be developed to allow people to realize that ideology has an impact on their lives, and perhaps that's the key to developing the social democratic movement?
In Latvia.
Okay,
Amant. Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. And my interest would be actually more to
to discuss the issue that was already raised by Anya. If austerity is not an answer, then what is? It's actually the most important question for us in Latvia since years, yeah, because our very honest government, as you put it, really told all the people in Latvia that this is that there is no alternative, yeah, to austerity. We wrote the Grundsatz program, yeah. We have one with 166 pages, so this is a bit thicker than usual. And we called it Latvia Renewed, and we put all the ideas that are really alternative to this neoclassical economy that exists in Europe, in the world, since 40 years. And we based the ideas upon the research. We created also a think tank. We invited people like Michael Hudson, like Jeff Summers, progressive left economists from all over the world, and let them put together the ideas that would be alternative. And this is because the financial economy and kind of financial or state financialization, not so much marketization, but we would see it more like financialization, is known since thousands of years on the earth, since period of Sumer, since period of debt creation. Yeah, so the problem of debt creation is actually the problem why the state must apply austerity. Yeah, the banks have occupied or privatized the only state income that is possible in the world, and this is the income from the land that is not created by anybody. It's created by God, by nature. So if the state is deprivatized of having the possibility to tax the land, yeah, it is like in all neoliberal economies. Then the state is forced to impose upon all the society the tax of labor. Yeah, this is like in Latvia. It's happened. We have now the labor tax. It's, if we put all things together, it's like 58%. Yeah, it is completely not competitive. in the world, so but the banks, which were allowed to put all the society under this debt pressure, yes, and I would say this is really the biggest problem now. Yeah, it's like we would like to see it the division between the European Union and the European Monetary Union. On one hand, the European Union we see as a social democratic project, yeah, and we applaud to that, and we are really glad to be part of it. The European Monetary Union we see as neoliberal project. We were really pressed into this free trade agreement, like Vico said, like Portugal with UK has a history of free trade agreement. Now all the periphery of the Europe, yeah, with underdeveloped economies are forced into this, are forced to tie their currencies to this big European currency, and we are forced into some neocolonial state of economy. It's like Mr. Barroso says, the European Union is a soft imperium, imperial state, and we really see today the soft colonization of the periphery of this European imperium. Yeah, this is how this should be reversed. Yeah, the banks should really the banks should really do what they should. Yeah, they should credit the real economy. Yeah, they should come back to that. If the state will be able to collect the taxes that the state can collect, yeah, the tax of land, then all the society benefits again from that. Yeah, the big and wealthy European countries like like the centers of the Europe, like Germany and France, they have already. Neoliberals try to reverse the time back, yeah, so that the labor in Germany, the labor in France become cheaper. We have already this cheap labor here. We have already this two-dimensional Europe. So the real social democracy has a perspective in our periphery here, in Latvia, in Lithuania, in Estonia. This is the chance for social democracy. And this is the chance for social democracy for tens of years now. It's like in Finland. Yeah. After that, we are happy to be neoliberal again, yeah, like Finland has. After that, we are happy to privatize and to deregulate, yeah, and so on. But not now. Yeah. And we were opposed the wrong policies on the periphery, and now we see that we are in the deepest crisis. We were in the deepest crisis. We are still in stagnation. And yeah, so I would say put the good proportion between the finance and real economy. I would say the real economy should be 80%, the finance economy should be 20%. Yeah. And then you can get the society back to the welfare path. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I still have a space for one question. Anybody tempted? Not in this round, we still have the second round. So just to remind what we have on the table towards our panelists, we have the issue of conservatives and new conservatives as also the distinctive intellectual culture as the example of Lithuania, that was the first. We have the discourse radical or not radical, or how radical and what does it mean radical, so that was raised by Evans. Also in conjunction to the role of the social media. We have the question of social democracy being attached to only sectors such as care, or social democracy being attached to the issues such as innovation and progress. And we have the issue of not austerity, TINA, no alternative, the meaning of the real economy, meaning of growth nowadays, meaning of welfare. And last but not least, we have a challenge of to every panelist, and I know that the panelists are always having much of liberty of answering the questions, but I would insist that the question of one or two concrete proposals how to translate values into tangible policy proposals will be answered by all of you. So Veiko, the floor is yours, and so like that we come by the reverse order.
Sorry, could you remind me the question now? So
there are basically five questions, distinctive culture of social democracy versus new conservatives. There is a question of radicalism and making change, social media. There is a question of social democracy being or not being related to innovation and competitiveness. There's a question of, if not austerity, then what, meaning of growth and welfare. And there is a demand for one or two concrete proposals so that it's not yet another discussion where we have a good feeling afterwards, but actually we constructed something before lunch.
All right, so I'll go for the, if not austerity, then what? So we speak about alternative to austerity, then it's a multifaceted answer here, because yes, austerity is there. Basically, around here we have Estonians, Latvians, Lithuanians. All three of the countries went through the austerity measures, regardless of the other factors. The fact was that all three governments went through this. So then the question is, what alternative? And the easiest answer is TINA. There is no alternative, because the idea is that we still have a European Union consisting of 27 member states. We don't have independent from the constraints of the member states, the central bank. We don't have financial ministry for all of the 27 member states. But then how could we have an alternative? And then the question is, if you look on the outcomes of austerity, then we see that it is moving there. There are discussion about the Eurobond. There is discussion about having the common Ministry of Finance. So, of course, to go back again to the higher level, we could say, okay, either we go for centralization for one central bank, Ministry of Finance, Common Treasury, or we go for a more confederal one, and then we recuperate the powers given to the central bank, and we could go also for that. But I believe this is useless here, because this needs an additional panel and speaking only about the financial matters. But there are even more important things is, what is an alternative? An alternative here, I believe, is that we should really look beyond the traditional political parties, and we should look and understand how the European party political groups, at least how we have them in the European Parliament, the PES, which is renamed now, I quite often forget, is it
so
European Socialists and Democrats?
No, this is a Progressive Alliance of Socialists
and Democrats in
the European
Parliament.
Parliament.
Thank you. Yes, so this is the way, as there are the small 27 confines working each and everyone in its own little block. But if there is a possibility to go beyond, then there is alternative to the classical austerity package. Until now, we are working here. Lithuanians speak about Lithuanian strategies, Estonians about Estonian strategies, Latvians about Latvian strategies, and we all have our own historical reasons why the social democracy or political system as such developed the way as it is. At the same time, I believe if we speak about the alternative, then there is impossibility to speak about alternative on the EU level without going beyond the traditional nation-state narrative. This is what I believe. If we speak about that, then we should go really for the European solution. So, and I believe this meeting here is also part of that, of seeing how we could join the forces together, how could we coordinate our the best policy proposals, how we could emulate the best strategies in attracting the support behind. This is the way for offering the alternative. We speak about specific policies, then perhaps afterwards we could go in specifics. I don't want to use too much time here.
So you still are not off the hook. There are still two proposals to be made.
I will reconsider after some other speakers will speak, and I'll come back to that.
All right, the deal is done. Close to you. There has been a lot of things challenging. Of course, you are also more than welcome to address the previous discutants, I think.
Yeah.
Floor is yours.
I think I will talk about this crisis first and then go back to some other questions. I see it the same, that actually in Estonia we were in government when all the crisis started. And the situation back then, it was really challenging. And the Estonia took the way of austerity, made very fast cuts in budget, and actually these were in this time, you know, the person at the power in this mean was Ivo Lipala, Social Democrat, sitting now in the European Parliament, and these were Social Democrats doing this story. Of course, we had discussions what we can do in this situation. But when we come back to this year 2008, there was no trust in the financial markets. There was no trust towards Baltic states. Some of us were near to bankruptcy. Some of us faced the stories or articles in the papers about the currency being going down. And so there were no trust. When we, one possible way was actually to go and borrow some money, as is, for example for Estonia, we had very low loan burden, state loan burden. We could have some loans, but in the same time we could get them for a very high percentage or very, very high price. And so actually we, considering all these points, we didn't see any. Even trade unions were not happy about all the cuts and wages and salaries, but we didn't have a message. And so why to strike when you don't have a good message? You can't do the other policy because you just don't have the money. You can't do it.
of course, some choices which were made during these days were not exactly what we wanted. For example, bring up the VAT, cutting some labor market benefits and things like that. And of course, this government of conservatives, neoliberals and social democrats split up 2009 because of this difference. But in the big picture, there was no alternative to austerity. Sorry. It's so sad to say as a social democrat. Of course, and now we come to the real answer. The real answer is to, this was the answer for a small country. For big Europe, the answer could be different. It could be different, maybe. And so social democrats took the way to join the Eurozone first, and then to start making the big policy with the European money altogether. And this was the honest answer what we had this time, and we hope that it will work in the future. Of course, it was not the best timing to join the euro, and now paying all these debts, it's not nice. But for the future, I think it's the only way to do it. Shortly about just one more comment. We need a really good economical policy. Without this one, you can't win, not in Eastern Europe. If you don't have a clear plan for economy, how you restructure your economy, how you bring in the new money, or how to make people a little bit richer, you can't win elections here in this country. Now about this, we had the question about how to be close to people, how to find out what's important for people. And I think it's much easier nowadays than it was before, because it takes hours nowadays to have, for example, thousands likes on Facebook. This is the main way of how people show their position in their life nowadays. So actually this is and the society groups and regroups just in a few days or weeks or months, and then just being active and just being there, one part of this network, not a part of the network, but one piece of this huge network, being there, this is the answer, how to be aware of what's going on in minds of people, and what are the questions you need to answer for the next elections or the elections after that. And winning elections is not enough nowadays, as we see. In case of the Reform Party in Estonia, you have won them, but you need to keep the touch with the voters. You can't say that, okay, I will be here for 4 years, and then you have the people have the right to vote again, and then we pay to all advertisement, commerce, and then we will be there again, and so on. So there will be a different type of policy making for sure.
Thank you very much. We're coming back to Andrews. You've begun the discussion, and you have the privilege because you've had all the other panelists. So.
Well, thank you. I'll start with Armand's question, I formulated. I think it's excellent. And, I formulated the issue or the problem of Keynesianism. I think, and to me, it's a deeper question actually about social democratic traditionally ever since Second World War, even back to 1930s when Keynesianism was developed as an idea, as an economic policy, and as an alternative economic policy. And of course, Keynes was right, and and it was the way to go forward for the left, for the Democrats in the U.S. to overcome the crisis, the biggest economic crisis of the 30s. But what has happened ever since is that, I mean, the key idea of Keynesianism is that you borrow against the future.
Exactly.
And so instead of tackling the issue of power in a society and saying, look, I mean, how can we, I mean, we talked about the state and the bigger state, and you talked about the state, and state is never neutral. You know, it's about the social groups. And so instead of asking how we can, in a sense, tax maybe richer and generate financial security for the society, what was done was a kind of compromise, Keynesian compromise, to borrow against the future. And so what we have now in sovereign debt crisis is that it's simply unsustainable. So, I mean, the question is, what if not austerity, what's next? Then it's a valid and legitimate question. But I think we need to become more radical in our imagination. And so I'll get back to Erwin's question about radicalism. I mean, when I say that left has to be more radical, I mean, I'm not saying that we have to slavishly follow what Marx and Marx said or become Stalinist or whatever. No, I mean, we have to be more radical in imagining the alternative future and imagining. And of course, I don't have immediate answers. None of us have immediate answers. But I think what we can start with is saying that, well, maybe there are more things that we can dream of, and more radical social change is possible, given that that neoliberalism has done what it has done, and I talked, but we know that the disparities and inequalities have grown, and so yeah, so I think the we need to get out of this box, so to speak, that thinking, okay, you either have a deregulation, this neoclassical economic policy model, or you have Keynesianism, which is, you know, borrowing against the future. And of course, social democrats and left parties who will come to power will have to deal with these issues. But for example, I mean, I'm not sure about Latvia, and probably you know more, and you probably you're right to say that austerity was the only possibility. But in Lithuania, it was not necessarily the case. I mean, conservatives came, and they introduced new taxation laws, which were stupid. So when crisis comes, the kind of the and this is by the way beyond ideological debate. What you do, you decrease taxes, and you stimulate economy. This is the basic Keynesian idea. But what conservatives did, they did it opposite. They increased the taxes on the one hand, and started to cut the budget and address the massive debt of, well, not, and which is not massive, in fact. So East European, certainly Lithuanian state debt is nothing compared to Britain. And when I speak to colleagues and friends from Germany or elsewhere, the members of Die Linke and others, I mean, what they say, look, I mean, welfare state in Britain after the Second World War was created after the war, and the debt, state debt, was 10 times bigger, and it was still created. So, I mean, I'm not an economist, so I don't know the questions, but I think we need to start thinking in a different direction. Now, about the gentleman's question here about the how to translate these values to the people, and I think what you people were talking about honesty, I think this is the one of the answers, possible one of the answers. I mean, For social democracy in Lithuania, the key question is how to, not only how to win, they will win elections, but it won't be a landslide victory. And the reason why it won't be a landslide victory is that there is so-called Labour Party. And we talked yesterday over the dinner, Uspaskich, who's in Lithuania pretty much a criminal. And he was the chair of the Employers Association. And he is now the leader of the Labour Party. And when you say that, this cheap populism doesn't work, I'm not so sure.
It doesn't work long term.
So what Uspaskich does in Lithuania, I mean, he pays his agents and they go to these bars where workers and kind of marginalized people go and drink and buy them drinks, right? So the key for social democrats is precisely to take the voters, or truly left-wing voters, who vote for a populist like Uspaskich, and this is and be honest. So, yeah, I mean, what, for example, trade union leaders and shop stewards do in Norway, that our friends, you know, they say, okay, how do I attract? How do I reach Lithuanian workers working in Oslo? I go to pubs and when basketball is playing, right? So that's the attitude, and surely social democratic parties in Europe lack this. So yes, honestly.
Thank you very much.
Very shortly about one point. Very shortly. So we really talking about Keynes' policy and attitudes. We would really like to see and like to remember what Keynes himself said about not mixing the state policies with the family budget policies. You were absolutely right about borrowing against the future if it were a family policy. If it is a state policy, we call it investment into the future. And this is very important to understand. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I promised that I would come back to Heiko. Now he volunteered also. So.
Yeah, answering to Mars Graudinch's question, which was how to make those policies work and how to make those parties to cooperate on that. That was, if I'm not mistaken, the question.
Yes, which interest to use to mobilize anyone?
So basically, if you look, very often what I see, not only amongst my students when I teach, but also on a daily basis when you meet people, then there is kind of this common streetwise understanding. I mean, all the politics, it goes its own way, it hasn't changed and so on. But let's look what has happened for the last 3 years. Basically, there are so many things which have happened due to these umbrella revolutionary events, quasi-revolutionary events. So we have finally state budget financed political parties, which Estonians have for quite some time, and Lithuanians also have for quite some time. So just less than a month old policy innovation is that finally in Parliament they passed that also electronic media, the advertising campaigns prior elections will be banned, which is also a good thing. So the power of money on election process has been curbed drastically, which means that there is a window of opportunity for social democratic parties, because social democratic parties, because of their heritage, being very active, working together, getting to act together, going to the local pub, getting some members behind, making the small groups of people working, going from apartment to apartment. This is what social democrats always been famous for. And when you curb the amount and power of money and political process, this is the window of opportunity. It's the comparative advantage what social democrats have. To go on streets, to give leaflets, to convince, to go from apartment to apartment and get the support behind. This is this is basically, which is finally the chance to be utilized. Because before that, mass media, one thing, it was skewed because of the National Electronic Media Council. And so the national TV was rather skewed towards those who are in power. Private media, it's a private media. Okay, that's it. They are the owners, so they can pay them. So, but then there is also a revolutionary thing. Since 2006, basically, we see the rising importance of the blogosphere, the rising importance of the social networks, which the two speakers before were referring to. This is a really unique thing, and this is bringing a change, and we can notice it in Latvia as well. I didn't mention it, but I wrote it in my position paper, which I sent to Edwin's, that basically this is an agent of change, and here also social democracy can go behind there and use it, and they've been using here. If you look how progressives been using these marketing skills, so basically there is a platform. So it's just you have to get those people together, and the first thing first, you have to have those splinter groups working together. If they don't work together, then obviously you can't expect the result.
Thank you very much. I am only 5 minutes above the time, so I will round up this panel, thanking Andrius, Pib, and Veiko for joining and for giving so much and such a rich food of thought. I think that we are still having some issues unresolved, which is always very good while you're breaking for lunch. But I would say that if I would think about ways of describing this debate in terms of the threats that we had new interpretations of values, so how to make them distinctive, how to make them understandable and adequate for the 21st century. We had a tangible translation into policy proposals that people can identify with, and we had adequate organization, so how we organize ourselves to be able to gear what we believe in and actually go ahead with the prevailing both intellectual but also political argument. Thanking you very much for a fantastic morning. I would like to break now for lunch, and we are meeting at 1 o'clock back in here.